and welcome to the Kickstarter edition, August 10th, 2018. This is the show where we talk about the Kickstarter games we're backing, might back, and have already received and played. I'm one of your hosts, Kitty.
And I'm Chris. And this week we're backing Call to Adventure, Bears vs. Lumberjacks, a bonus, The Curse of Misfortune Lane. We're watching One Night Supervillains, Grim Reaper, Endogenesis, Build a Cure, The Bunker. We will mention quickly Dauber's Quest is back and Sea of Plunder's back. We're also looking to look at Fairy God Plumber, Match the Monster Poop to Win. Okay, and then we'll end with a review of Tank Chess, which is going to be very similar to Monster Poop.
It's not.
It's much better than Monster Poop.
Hey, no knocking Monster Poop.
We're getting ahead of ourselves, but I'll say Monster Poop, Unicorns and Unicorn Poop absolutely is in the game. I'm just assuming.
Yes, definitely.
All right. So, we just got back from Gen Con.
We did.
Everything settled in. We're still alive.
Yes. We brought home a lovely cold with us.
I did not have that cold, and I don't want it.
Yeah, it has taken down my whole family.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be here just for as long as it takes to record this, and then I'm running away.
Good.
So let's make this fast, shall we?
Sounds good to me.
All right. So we'll start with what I'm backing. I am backing Call to Adventure featuring Name of the Wind. We talked about this last week. This is a 2-4 player, 30 to 45 minute game that essentially you're telling a story about the character you're creating, and that character has multiple different goal cards, essentially, you're trying to complete. And as you do, you will tell this great story, and it's going to be fun and great. Now, our episode last week, or this week, a Gen Con episode, was Why We Buy Games. So I've decided to add a little flavor to all the things I back and say why I backed this game. And this one's super simple because it was on my kind of on the edge. Maybe it looks cool. I like the art. I like the idea. I like the fact there's like these little rune things that you're grabbing out of bags, and that's how you're doing your skill and story tests and stuff. But while I don't even know where I heard this, so I don't even know if this is a rumor or not. I'm hoping it's not a rumor, but I was heard that Brandon Sanderson's series of Stormlight, which is Brandon Sanderson, one of my favorite authors, does these massive world building things. One of his series is the Stormlight series, and that is going to get an expansion for the Call to Adventure game, just like
Name of the Wind. The newest one, yes.
Did I say Name of the Wild? I might have.
I don't think you did.
Okay. Well, Name of the Wind, that's one. That's the first world. And hopefully Stormlight's going to be the second, because I am super looking forward to that. I love that series. Everyone should listen to it. Well,
or even read it.
Or read it. Reading, it's a 45-hour listen.
It's, yeah, Name of the Wind style, exceedingly long story. Yeah.
Plus, there's 3 books out, so you're looking at about 150 hours, which I think is what you said of Name of the Wind.
I believe it's in that realm.
So Call to Adventure is a game system that basically focuses on extraordinarily long book-based worlds so that you can play the game in 30 minutes and not have to worry about reading the book.
Yep.
Okay, that works. You can still back it. There's only 2 days left as this drops. It ends on August 13th, but the base game is $40. The game plus the Name of the Wind expansion is $55. That is Call to Adventure featuring Game of the Wind. All right, what do you got?
I am backing Bears vs. Lumberjacks. We also talked about this last week. This is we called it a sort of domino-like game. I came up with Quadrimos,
yep.
Yep, after that. So it's a tile with 4 different corners with numbers or pictures in them. And you're trying to, instead of laying next to, you lay over a number. So if you have a larger number, you can lay over a smaller number. And you are trying to score the most points for your team, Bears or Lumberjacks. And there's a, what is it? It's a Catacorn expansion,
yeah,
if you back on Kickstarter. Yeah.
I can just imagine this game being played at a cabin someplace. You're at like, yes, summer lake or like a camp or something like that. This game is kind of just perfect for that kind of setup.
2-3 player, 10 to 15 minutes, super easy. It's a $9 game and it ends on August 17th. So,
all right. Well, you backed two.
I did. So I'm telling myself that this doesn't count because it hasn't funded yet.
And you've been hanging around me for too long.
Yes. Excellent. Yes, I have. I already had a shopping problem. I just needed to translate it into board games.
There you go. Success.
So I also backed The Curse of Misfortune Lane, and it's very close to funding. It's, I think, at 86% as we record, and it has 11 days to go today. So 10 days. Is that? 10? No, more like 9. No, it's Wednesday. Is it Thursday?
It's Thursday.
Oh my goodness. I lost a day. So, yeah. So, 10 days to go. So, I hope it will fund. It's a fun game. This is the asymmetrical kids versus monster card game. You press your luck to build your deck and break the curse. The monster's goal is to stop the kids from succeeding. It sounds almost like a role-playing game, kind of a feel to it.
You could definitely have a story to it.
Yeah. There seems like there's more story elements than games I normally pick up. You seem to like the heavier storied games. I'm more of the quick filler game. So this is, you know, heavy for me. Yeah. But
well,
still
it's also super cute, though.
Very cute art, but... you know, scary. Scary cute.
I see this again. This could be another camp counselor with the kids type of game.
Yes.
It's a cool family game. The cousins are coming over. You know.
Especially like if you can get an adult to play the monster and all the kids are actually playing the kids versus the adult monster.
Yep.
That'd be fun.
And then you can see which kid steps up to want to play the monster and then you know who to start calling therapy for. So it's really a litmus test for the future of your children.
And you have till August 21st to back that. It's $24. And it is The Curse of Misfortune Lane.
Sweet. All right. This next one is probably cheating because I think this is the sixth in the series of the One Night series.
You just have to watch it.
But now I have them all. So I have all the other ones. So I'm like, I can't not get this one.
They're just... playing you, Chris.
They are, and they're doing a good job at it. This is One Night Ultimate Supervillains by Bezier Games. It is, if you've played One Night Werewolf, One Night Alien, One Night Vampire, One Night... oh, I'm missing...
Fill in the blank.
Yeah, One Night Fill in the blank. I know I'm missing one. Then you already know the gist of this. Essentially, you are going to get a roll. That roll will have some kind of power that will allow you to do something at night. Except for one. You have the innocent bystander. Is the only roll that doesn't do anything. I'm just an innocent bystander. I can't possibly be a supervillain. So everyone closes their eyes. And then there's an app that narrates when you wake up. You do your particular roll. And then once everyone's done their role, you wake up and you're trying to find the supervillains. And as a group, if you can vote out a supervillain, then the good guys win. If you don't vote out a supervillain, then the bad guys win, unless you vote out the mad scientist or his intern, because those two want to die. And if they get voted out, well, they want to get caught in this one. They don't want to die. It's about getting caught. They get caught in this one, and then just the mad scientist win. So that's kind of the Tanner role of the One Night Ultimate
supervillain world.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which works great. So a couple things about this, though, that I do actually like is they have a collector's box with this. So for an extra $25, you can buy a box. That sounds silly when I say it out loud. But it's a really cool box because it stores all of the One Night
stuff. Don't worry. One of mine has a box.
It's like the box. This box has like drawers in it.
Ooh, so fancy.
It's like a top thing and then drawers that come out the side. So this box is meant to fit all of your One Night stuff because there's a lot of One Night stuff. And it also has a round mat, like a round playing mat for another $25. So these are, you don't oftentimes see round playing mats and like boxes that fit everything. So I thought that was cool. So One Night Ultimate... if you haven't gotten into any of the One Night stuff, but you want a really light, it's kind of social deduction, but it's way more mechanical than social deduction. This might be a good entry point. If you're not into like the vampires and werewolves and aliens, then maybe superheroes and supervillains are your thing. The art on this is really, really cute. It's that kind of cartoony. Like
it reminds me a little bit of Powerpuff Girls.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Exactly like that. So I like the style. It doesn't go with any of the styles of the other games, but
yeah, it doesn't need to.
It doesn't need to. This is super fun. And it's mix and match. So you can mix and match it. So this goes till August 28th. It's $25 for the base game, and you can keep adding dollars to get all the extra add-ons and stuff like that. They even have one, I think it's a $400 pledge that gives you everything that Bezier has done. So it's just everything.
All the things.
So at least all the One Night stuff, all the 1 week stuff. Actually, what is this? This is the Collector's Super Pack. Yeah, so you get One Night Collector's Oversized Box. You get the things you get One Night. Or you get enamel pins. You get all the bonus packs from everything. Ultimate Werewolf. Inquisition, just not even the one night, just that, the deluxe edition, artifacts, classic movie monsters. It's just, it goes on and on and on.
There's, it's more than one page of stuff here on your iPad.
I literally have to scroll it, and I have the big iPad Pro,
yeah,
and it still doesn't fit all on one screen.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but it's also $400. So you're only going to do that if you haven't gotten anything else, and you played it once, and you're like, I must have everything because Chris told me I needed it. I'm not telling you. I'm neither an endorser. Yes, it's good. I like this game. Make up your own mind. It's One Night Supervillains. Get me out of this trouble.
All right. I'm watching Grim Reaper. Laughing in the face of death. Who will be the new Grim Reaper? A fun, morbid, undead family card game for 2 to 5 players.
Wait, can you reread that again?
Laughing in the face of death. Who will be the new Grim Reaper? A fun, morbid, undead family fun card game for 2 to 5 players.
Fun, morbid, undead family fun. Okay. Tell me about this game.
So this is, you are trying to build the best hand. It's a draw one, discard, or play in action. There are a few action cards in the deck as well, but mostly you are drawing different kinds of death, types of deaths that you can collect as a Reaper, and they score different points. You're trying to make a card hand of the biggest score. But it has a 20-minute blind timer. So you set the timer for 20 minutes, and then I'm assuming everyone's going to do this with their phone. So you set it, and you turn it over so you can't see it. So you just play until the timer goes off, but no one knows when it's going to happen exactly.
No, look at any wall clocks, no counting in your head.
Nope. I mean, good luck. Does anyone even have clocks in their house anymore?
I have one. The battery's dead, so it just goes tick, 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 and I need to eventually kill it, but I figure the battery will eventually completely die. It does not keep time. It will not help me with 20 minutes.
All right. So it is kind of, this might not be the best game, but I loved the art on this. It's really fun, goofy, kind of dark art. It reminds me a little bit of an Edward Gorey, but not really. I don't know. It's fun. It's morbid. I don't know that I would play it with kids. There's the extreme deck that I did not back, or I didn't back this at all yet, but I wouldn't. It looks too grim. I don't know.
But they're calling it family fun though, right?
Yes. It's very dark, silly.
Okay.
And you have to have a morbid sense of humor. I would play this with like middle school and up.
Okay. But I mean, sometimes like kids get like that whole, they like gross things or something like that. So, and it's cartoony, though.
It's cartoony. It's silly. It looks fun. It's an easy game. But it's a little bit take that. It's a little bit mess with your neighbors kind of game.
And it definitely goes into our Halloween game.
Yes.
Category.
And yeah, that ends August 26th. It's $19. And again, it is Grim Reaper.
All right. Well, this one is a little bit more up my alley anyway.
It's really cool art, though.
Yes. This one is Endogenesis. And as I'm browsing through, so basically every week, usually a couple times a week, I browse through the latest stuff on Kickstarter. And Kickstarter knows me well enough at this point to say, hey, we will recommend a whole bunch of things you'll probably like. And typically, they're not too bad. This one, however, just the cover art alone made me go, what? Because for some reason, I like purple and black. And
this is very purple.
Yeah, the big title image is this. It's a black background with purple line art, essentially. I use essentially a lot. I'm going to stop doing that. Because now I'm hearing it when I say it. Now everyone else is hearing it. They're going to listen to everything. It's like, you really do use it. But anyway, this is a card game where you are attempting. So you're all like these cosmic beings. And you go out, you hang out, everything's good. You're all pals and stuff. And then one of you gets a little taste of power. And you like, oh, I'm powerful and I can do this ability that you can't do. And then everyone else is like, well, wait, I want some power too. So they go out and they get some power. And then everyone's like, well, I want your power. You want my power. Let's just all become more powerful, except for now it's not a team thing. It's a competition thing because you apparently with great power becomes great envy and you must win and get the most power before anybody else. Now, you are playing in this game. You are, I guess you're not, you're just like these cosmic entities and you can attack each other. So there's a decent amount of take that to it, but you can't kill each other. So if I attack you, I might knock you down. And depending on how what your power level is, if you're just at level zero, then you're going to be out for, you're going to have to discard a card. If you're level one, you're going to skip an action phase. If you're level two, you're going to skip an action phase and have to discard a card. And if you're level three, you've already won because that's all you have to do is get three of these power gems and then you win the game. At the beginning of the game, you're going to get skill cards to draft from. And I think it's a drafting because you get to select your skill cards. There's three slots of normal skills and one slot of an ultimate skill. And you can put your skill cards wherever you want to go in there. You can only play an ultimate skill if you already have the three normal skills filled up. And then each slot can be powered up. During the game, you can replace these skills. But the slots are powered up. So if you put a different skill into slot one and you've powered it up by two gems, it'll still be powered up with two gems. And if you ever get, there's six different types of skills. And if you ever get all those skills of the same color, you can say, I'm going to classify myself, which is basically you just commit to that and you get a special power. But now you can't commit any other skills that are outside of that class. There are some monsters that are going to be coming up and that you can all fight. Certain monsters give you these like power gems, three power gems, you win. And that is Endogenesis. It looks really, really cool. Have you taken a look at the art on this?
I have taken a look on the art because I do the exact same thing where I'm scrolling through, browsing Kickstarter, and I saw this art and I went, oh, this looks really cool. And then I saw the picture that you're looking at right now of all of the bits and pieces laid out, everything. And I was like, that's too much stuff. And I'm done.
Well, all right. There's a couple decks of cards, which is basically there's the skill deck, there's an event deck, and then there's the monster deck. And there's a playing mat. And the playing mat has already been upgraded to a neoprene rolled mat, which I actually really like that better than the boards. And the box is updated so it holds the mat in a rolled up form and it like contains everything. And the box is, you know, they mentioned that it's designed for expandability. So as if they, you know, are thinking about doing more stuff for this, perhaps. It, like I say,
there's just a lot going on for me.
I know, but it's so
pretty.
It's
really cool looking.
And I really think this is probably something that's easy to learn.
If you figure it out and teach me, I'd be totally willing to play. I just did not want the responsibility of owning this.
Well, I will accept that responsibility because this is likely going to be back. This is in my I really, really want this category.
You've got some time on this, though. You've got until September 7th.
Can you imagine? We're already saying September.
I know. It's crazy.
I wrote September 7th. I'm like, wait a minute. There's a Kickstarter that expires in September. Isn't that like 4 months from now? I'm like, no, that's like 4 weeks from now.
Yeah. I don't know where time.
Yeah.
What happened. Ugh.
September 7th, $43, which is a great deal for what I'm seeing is all these components.
There are a lot of components for $43 in there.
And that's Endogenesis.
Yes.
All right.
I'm watching Build a Cure the Bunker. Build a cure with your team before resources run out or suffer the fate of the diseases that plague you. So the theme of this game is that there was a world-ending event and you ran into a bunker and the group of you is safe, but you realize that the reason that this room is end-of-the-world proof is because it is full of all of the super diseases.
Okay.
So that's where, you know, all of those were kept. So now you have to work to find the cure before your supplies run out. And I didn't really look too hard into the mechanics of this because I had a sick baby. But
and the premise alone makes you like, I am interested in this. This is death and suffering and all these types of things.
I love curing diseases. It sounds somewhere between herbalism and pandemic. It doesn't seem like a very difficult game. They've described it as quick and cooperative, fun, easy play. So those are all keywords. Speaking of why I buy games, quick, easy to learn, replayable, fun for families. Those are some of my
this keywords. This is on your upper end of cost, though.
It is. It is $26, but there are a few $24 early birds still available as we are recording.
So if you jump on right now, you might be able to get it.
This ends August 29th, and it is Build a Cure, the Bunker.
All right. A couple of quick mentions, because we've talked about these games in the past, some of them a couple times. The first one is Dauber's Quest for the Key. I've been waiting for this one to come back on Kickstarter. I did an interview with Daryl Jones, who's the designer of this. So if you want to check out, I think it was still a side chat at that time. So you can go back and take a listen to that. This game looks really, really cool, and the Kickstarter relaunch looks awesome. The video is great, and it actually made Kickstarter's Projects We Loved banner on it.
Oh, so nice.
It's already funded. This one is essentially a deck building. I did it again. It is a deck building game where you're not only building your own deck, but you're also building up the board. So you have cards that you're buying from a center area. Some of those cards are locations that you buy them and you can put it on the board wherever there's an open location. You might be able to buy a monster and add it to that location, or you can buy cards that will go in your deck. Some of those you can actually put at locations as well to power up monsters and things like that. So you're trying to create a board that will block your opponents, but still help you get to the end and get the key. So, like I said, we've talked about this before. Check out the side chat on Dobbers, and then you will be able to hear all about it. This ends August 24th. It is $39 for the base game. And if you want the base game plus the expansion plus the reprint of the comic that this is based off of, then that's $64 total. So that's Dobbers Quest for the Key. The other one we've talked about a couple times, and this was our Origins episode where we did an interview with Rusty Lemkin on Sea of Plunder. And this is also a relaunch that has just relaunched about a week or so ago. And this one is, you are drawing cards, you have a hand of cards that are basically treasure maps that actually more like sail cards, wind cards, I forget what he calls them, but they allow your ship to move around the board.
I think they're winds,
yeah. And you are trying to get to these different islands to get treasure. And when you get treasure, yeah, hooray. You're trying to collect a certain amount of treasure before the pirates do, because you also, on each of your turn, you're going to move your ship, but you're also going to move pirate ships around to try to keep your opponents from getting treasure. But the pirates can also get treasure. So it is possible for everybody to lose in this game and for the pirates to win. There's some event cards in there that help, you know, mix things up a little bit. He has 14-sided custom dice. So you can actually, there's a pledge level where you can just pledge for the dice if you just want a 14-sided die. So the production values on this have come up a long way from when I playtested it like a year and a half ago. So check this one out. It is not expensive either. This one goes till August 24th. It's $35. That is Sea of Plunder. All right. Those are my quick mentions.
All right. So I'm not sure about this being a Kitty's Family Corner pick.
I think you have to make this a Kitty's Family Corner pick because it says poop.
Fairy God Plumber, match the monster poop to win. This is a memory style game that would be really fun to play with a younger audience. It is matching poops to their monsters, and the monsters and the poops are hilarious looking. The art on this is basically the only reason I clicked. It's too funny. If you enjoy potty humor and you don't mind your kids making unicorn poop jokes for forever, this is a game for you. It looks really fun. They have these hazard cards that you can also find amongst the matches that affect play a little bit. And now it has two mini plungers that come with it, and you can pick up the cards with your mini plunger suction cups, and it looks too funny.
This is all ridiculous. It has 25 hilarious mythical monster poops to match their respective characters. Yeah, there's a Toiletosaurus.
Mm-hmm.
The art on this is quite adorable. I will have to give it that. There's mermaid poop. There's unicorn poop. Is this gnome poop, which is an ice cream cone?
It's garden gnome poop. I thought it was a flower pot full of kind of dirt poop.
That's probably true. It also looks like an ice cream cone
a little bit,
with some flowers sticking out of it.
Yep.
Yeah, this is exactly what a nine-year-old boy. I think even younger. I think you can go like seven. Five to seven,
probably, right?
Yeah, because there's very little reading, right? It's just like match the pictures,
match the colors.
Yeah, and it's not like a typical memory game where you're finding two unicorns. You're finding the unicorn and the unicorn poop. So you have to associate, why do these two things go together?
Yeah, that's learning in there. This is one of the less educational picks for Kitty's Family Corner.
I don't know. This is memory stuff.
It's memory. It's fun. It gets the whole family together. It makes everyone laugh.
I'm going to say this is a good pick. If you were to pick this up, I would play it with you.
Too funny.
And I'm not a poop person. I know. I'm not. I'm really not. All right. Go sell August 30th?
Yes. $12 only.
And that's Fairy God Plumber.
With a poop emoji right there in the title.
All right. Now going from cute art to our review of the week, which has almost no art.
I was going to say no art? None?
I am reviewing Tank Chess. Now, I remember when this game... I should remember when I back all of my Kickstarter games, but...
And yet you don't.
Yeah, 2017 was an excessive year. Heavy backing year. Yeah. So, but this game, I was looking at it, it's going kind of back and forth. It's like, oh, it looks really cool. And it's... If you've ever played... If you're as old as I am, and you played the Atari, there was a game called Tanks. And Tanks is you controlled a tank, and you'd run around this, like, essentially... empty field with some walls, and you try to shoot your opponent's tank, and those bullets would bounce off, they'd go a different range, and eventually they'd, you know, go away. This is that game crossed with actual chess and little tanks. It's as abstract as you can get. Like, it's called Tank Chess, but it's basically in the same way that chess has a theme, this has a theme.
Yes,
chess are knights and, you know, medieval England stuff. This is tanks. The way this works, it's much easier to learn than chess. You set this down. There's four boards in the box. There's one small board, which is 16 by 16, and one bigger board, which is 20 by 20. Both boards have one side that is like a pre-setup. This is what tanks you put where, and it has all the obstacles drawn on the board. On the other side, it's completely blank. So you can actually set up any scenario you want. And there's a bunch of scenarios that come in the box. Plus, you give you a pad of paper to make your own scenarios. And so you can really, the replay on this is crazy big. There's, I want to say, 8 different types of tanks, but you don't necessarily play with all of them at once. So you have like your light tanks, which are kind of fast, but they only do, you know, small damage, but they can get hit by anything, to your heavy tanks, which are slower, but it's really hard to take them out. Now, the interesting thing about this is you move and then you attack. And your movement is you have a certain number of movement points. You can go forward one. You can turn 45 degrees. And each one of those spends a movement point. Or you can spend your entire movement point to go back one space. Why would you do that? Because you can also shoot. But you can't shoot something that is right next to you. So if someone pulls up close to you, you have to pull back a space before you can shoot. Most tanks allow you to shoot in 3 directions. So you can shoot forward and to 45 degrees left and right. The bullet goes for as long as you're not hitting an obstacle. And now here's the really interesting thing about it. All of the tanks have different armor ratings based on front, back, and sides. So your front armor rating is going to be your strongest. Your back is going to be your weakest. And then your side is going to be somewhere in the middle. And all the tanks have a certain gun rating. So a tank... Say a light tank has a gun rating of 1. It can only destroy a tank if it's hitting an armor rating of 0. Kitty is falling asleep now. But if you have a tank value of a gun rating of 3, you can basically destroy anything except for another heavy tank who has tank value, armor value 3 at the front. Now, this sounds confusing, and I thought it was going to be confusing, but as soon as we started moving things around, it was just instantly intuitive. Like, everything just made sense.
It's one of those games that it sounds... easier to play than to talk about.
It is a little bit easier to play than to talk about. But when I sat it down, because I told Sydney, I'm like, we have to play this game because I need to do a review tomorrow. So we sat it down on the couch. It was like 9:45. I'm like, don't worry. This will be easy to learn. Because she's usually a little suspicious when I'm like, we have to play a Kickstarter real quick. Because that's usually like a 2 to 3 hour ordeal. But I'm like...
Don't worry, my games are going to start coming eventually, and they're all quick plays.
Exactly.
Almost all kick.
Yeah. Quick. But I told her, it's like, you can move, and then you shoot. That's the whole game. And there's 2 ways to win. You have a command tank. You can kill that command tank of the other person, and you win. Or you can get your command tank off the edge of the board on the other side. So it's kind of like a king me in chess, where you're trying to move to the other side. I like the way that goes. There's also different variants where it's like you have to destroy the entire army on the other side and things like that. I thought the game was going to play longer than it did because there is so much to think about in this game. Because it's not like chess where you're moving one space or maybe the knight is really complicated movement. It's not like that. You can, when you move 5 spaces, you can go just about anywhere and you can shoot anywhere on the board. You're like hiding behind tanks and hiding behind walls and stuff. And all of a sudden it's like, I'm going to drive around here and shoot you in the back and boom, you're dead. I'm like, oh, so That's tank chest. I like it.
Sounds fun.
I'm going to keep this one. All right.
For now. Believe you. Whenever you say you're going to keep something, it's a for now.
This one, the box size is kind of perfect. It's a small box game with a lot of stuff in there. It says it plays two players, but there's actually a four player variant inside of it as well. So we can go
for like
four
players. It's like a two versus two?
You play from the corners.
Oh, okay.
So you turn the 20 by 20 board and you play from the corners and then you're going after each other. I think you can do free fall or team in that respect.
Oh,
so
interesting.
There's a lot of variety here. If you want a tactical war game, but you don't want to invest in all of the heavy tactical war stuff that's out there.
Yeah.
This could scratch that inch in a pinch. All right. Let's get out of this.
All right. Thanks for listening. The Kickstarter edition is produced by Tabletop Game Talk Studios, a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Be sure to check out our on-topic episodes anywhere you find podcasts or at tabletopgametalk.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at Tabletop Game Talk Podcast, Twitter at Tabletop Game TLK. I'm at Lawful Good Mom, and Chris is at Game Master Chris. If you have a Kickstarter you think we should check out, email us at kickstarter@tabletopgametalk.com. And finally, a huge thank you to our Patreon friends of the show, Emil Jeljam, George Gia, Adam Harrison, Corey Bell, and the SGC.
Until next week, keep playing games and having fun.